Blog Talk Radio.
And Mike, where are you going, Mike? I'll tell you where he's going. He's right here in the North American Wrestling Connection special episode tonight. I'd like to thank you all for being here. As I start up the chat rooms and all that good stuff. If I seem a little distracted while these proceedings are going on, it's because I gotta quickly do a bonus game at my game show thing. joining me tonight, as always, is the Colin Quinn to my Ken Ober, Nikki Hammond.
Good evening, Mr. Seidelman. Tonight's episode is presented by the letters W, T, and F. And by the number 10.
Rouse.
What, the show's over already?
No. But
okay.
ECW is almost on this way once you hear the rating. And also here is DJ. How you doing, DJ?
Pretty good, guys. Nobody besmirches William Regal and gets away with it, sunshine.
All right. Wrestling has gone weird on us, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Seidelman, if you will. Louder.
Yeah, it really has gone weird on us. Call in 1-646-716-9678. We'd love to hear your opinion. And we also got the chat room open and ready for your perusal. Where do you guys want to start off? We'll do the backlash. Actually, we'll just do quick backlash results. I forgot to listen to the show, but I lost. Nikki won.
The only thing I missed was the main.
Yeah, you only missed the main event, but you got one person right in there, and that was Trips. But that 8 carried you. So you get your title back, and you get this.
A begrudging congratulations.
thank you. Don't applaud, just throw money. I need to pay for gas this weekend. But with that out of the way,
back
your sights on Monday.
No, we're going to still talk about Sunday because that was a fantastic Fatal 4-Way.
It was. You're absolutely right.
I, for one, did not see John Cena getting knocked out that early in the match.
I wasn't expecting two quick eliminations like that. That's not usually how you play a Fatal 4-Way. I'm okay with it.
I am, too.
Oh, I gave JBL a little too much credit, but it's, you know, I don't think he's done with the title picture just yet.
No, don't count him out just yet. Apparently,
Cena,
he's going into a program with right now, and then they'll maybe try to work one of those two into the title picture down the road.
Well, we still have the gaping hole that's going to be left by Cena between now and one bad
time that his movie finishes,
which will be after Labor Day, Memorial Day, which means he'll be available for the next pay-per-view, which is what, one bad joke?
Yeah, uncensored.
Or Night of Champions retaining. But in all seriousness, congratulations, Triple H, for finally breaking your 5-year losing streak on Backlash.
Yep, and he gets the belt and immediately put into a feud with Orton.
That's just not nice. I'm not allowed to use my Orton bias here.
Uh-huh.
But Triple H can carry Orton to a good match. Oh, did I say that out loud?
It takes a real star to carry Orton to a good match. However, even Batista could carry Orton to a good match. Ooh, did I really just say that?
Did you guys hear about the latest overseas incident involving Randy Orton?
Might have been why he lost the belt.
I'm going to make you tell the story, DJ. You're the Orton fan.
I'm wearing the Orton shirt right now.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, I like the way it looked. Anyway, apparently the hotel staff had woken him up at a time where he didn't want to be woken up. So I guess he put on his clothes, went down the hallway, and took all of his leftover room service food and just flung it at the hotel staff and then laughed about it and back to his room. Randy Orton's back, everybody.
He didn't sign a $100 bill and hand it to them saying, thanks for the laugh.
Oh, Randy.
I don't think the camera story was ever verified, was it?
The camera story?
You didn't hear about that one?
I've heard about that one, yeah, where he writes, he threw the guy's thing off the balcony, but his memory card wasn't in it, so he wrote on, $20 bill or $50 bill. He wrote, sorry for nothing, dipshit, or something. I don't know. Excuse my
language. No. French is legal on the show, especially if you're quoting. It was a $100 bill to pay for the missing chip saying, here's your autograph, dipshit.
Oh, okay.
So, Randy, I hope you don't mind looking at your bare waist.
By the way, we have a new induction from WrestleGrap. Speaking of what the fuck, Mexicals are in.
The Mexicals.
I didn't mind them. I thought it was kind of fun. I have a picture somewhere of the Juan Deers.
I wonder if my Jobber of the Week is up. Or is it still Frankie Lancaster, or is it...
Jobber of the Week.
Oh, it's
Zombie,
it's
in honor of EPW. Oh, wait.
No, it's Stinko de Mayo Week on WrestleCraft.com, so my thing is getting saved. And we have the Conquistadors.
Dos.
By the way, apropos of nothing, just that you mentioned WrestleCraft, I'm finally on the forums. And I'll tell you what, I really started getting into it Monday night, and I haven't had so much fun analyzing a wrestling show before, like the create an ending for the Raw, create Randy Orton news, 100 reasons why The Undertaker tapes his fist. That stuff is kind of fun for me to kind of go at and do stuff like that. So I'm now a proud member of the WrestleCraft forums, and I thoroughly enjoy them.
And we welcome you. Nikki should post more, though.
My apologies. Now that Online Onslaught is back up and running, I've had to go poke my head in there, but it's a ghost town because the word hasn't gotten around yet. So if any former Osterich are listening,
I'm hoping
your new address.
I'm hoping to get an NWOB team member by the end of the year, so we'll see.
I gotta get over there. As it is, I'm tied in with OO. I'm tied in with Fun's House, which is the secondary board to OO. And I did sign up to the WrestleCraft forums, but I do need to get my butt over there more often.
Yes. Also, I'm only 500 more posts away from becoming Mantar.
Moo? Huh?
And 3,000 away from becoming Vince Russo.
I'm sorry. Although, admittedly, on OO, I think I'm near a milestone on OO. Give me a second.
Actually, I think Vince Russo booked this week's shows.
All of them.
Yes. Well, we know he
Vince
booked
Russo
them back.
The guest booker.
Or maybe this is the handiwork of what people are doing that, well, I'm going to immediately jump into something right now. Moron of the Week.
And who would that be?
What a knucklehead!
Our knucklehead for this week is Michael P.S. Hayes.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, come on, Seidelman. You gotta go find Booker T's interview.
The reason why he's called Moron of the Week is because of this news story that popped up. He got suspended for 60 days because of what happened at the WrestleMania after party.
Mm-hmm.
What happened on the WrestleMania after party, you ask? Well.
Well.
As it turns out, he is a racist. A big-time racist. And Stephanie knows this.
A lot of people knew about it, apparently.
Oh, but it got really bad at the WrestleMania after party. It was like, since he called Florida the wetback capital of the world with all the Cuban immigrants going over there and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
I'm from Florida originally, and while he's right, you don't say that.
And also, from stuff stemming back that in 2003, Stephanie hired an African-American assistant writer, you know, for creative.
Mm-hmm.
And she interviewed him right before, during Michael PSA's was on vacation, because she knew that he would just lambast the poor kid, and even if he did say all the right answers, wouldn't take him in. So, during the vacation, the board said yes, he's in, became a creative assistant. Michael PSA has found out, just lambasted him, calling him a nigger and all that stuff, and he left in 4 months. After that, only two people of different race other than Caucasian have been in, and the longest running one is 6 months, and that is a current manager to Great Khali, or should I say was manager to Great Khali right now, Rajan Singh, a.k.a. Dave Kapoor.
Who right now is going to be behind his desk a little bit longer while Khali goes home to take care of some things.
Yes.
But I think,
and also star in a movie.
Really? That one I didn't know.
He's going to be the hero, actually, the good guy. Because so many people, I guess, in India look up to Khali, but they don't want him to play a bad guy in the movie. They want him to play a good guy so that way, you know, he can have people get behind him a little more in his home country, which I agree with. I mean, he was great in The Longest Yard, if you've ever had a chance to see him in that. And I guess he's also going to be in the new Get Smart movie with The Rock, so looking forward to that.
Looking up literally or figuratively, DJ?
Both.
Sorry.
And here's the way that Khali is going out. You'll see this on the May 2nd edition of SmackDown.
Spoiler alert.
Great Khali. Huh?
Sorry. Go on.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Great Khali comes to the ring and tried to take the World Heavyweight Championship after Vicky strips The Undertaker of it because of his new chokehold, saying that the Gogo Plata is band.
Devil's Triangle Lock.
Yeah, Devil's Triangle Lock. While he is choking him out, he bleeds, you know, the internal bleeding and stuff. I don't know if it's fake blood or real blood. Undertaker went after Ryder and Hawkins and ended up getting back in the ring and chokeslamming Khali to end the show.
And apparently,
so,
Khali
didn't
get up.
Undertaker just pretty much an internal bleeding thing.
Mm. I now look less forward to SmackDown, but that little spoiler has just added to the what the fuck factor for tonight.
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about Impact yet. But first, Let me get up Online World of Wrestling.
Just real quickly, I want to let you guys know you can talk amongst yourselves real quick. I'm ordering Wendy's through the drive-thru because I'm hungry, so I'll be back in a few seconds.
Okay. He needs to get us something.
Is he going to Wendy's?
Well, he's probably driving. Give me a Frosty, DJ. Anyway.
But he said he'll be back.
I know.
On Raw, we have Ron Killings in a heat taping.
Excellent.
Wait a minute,
I thought he was hurt.
No.
Okay.
Must have got better, though. Ron Killings defeated the natural Nick Nemeth.
Okay.
Shad Gaspard defeated Charlie Haas.
Luke Chavon. Oh, wait.
No, he lost. Gene Siskey defeated Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I'm sure that was a 5-star classic.
Negative 5 stars is more like it. And Hardcore Holly defeated the Canadian Bulldog D.H. Smith.
You know, welcome to the league, the big leagues rookie match.
Yeah.
Mr. Pay Your Dues struck again.
Exactly. And now we get a 15-minute promo from Triple H. Actually, not really a... No, now we're on the Raw segment.
Okay.
Triple H came out and actually really milked the crowd reaction, holding his newly won WWE spinner belt.
That still doesn't spin.
What are the odds that next week he comes out with a real belt, or they still use the WWE spinner belt?
I guess his name was already on the nameplate for the spinner belt. So I'm hoping that's not a sign of things to come, but they switch. I thought that they would switch it over to the more traditional belt last week, you know, have it ready for him. But, I mean, I hate that spinner belt. I hate it so much because it reminds me of Cena. God, I hate it.
I don't think it's appropriate to have that belt if it's not Cena. It is apparently his belt. Well, kind of like the Smoking Skull belt.
Right.
Triple H needs an original, you know, needs something closer to the original Winged Eagle belt. Or maybe even something like the Undisputed title when they made a universal belt for that.
Right.
Maybe put like a Triple H spin on it. You can have like the, I don't know what kind of emblem you use. Like the what's the emblem that he uses? It looks like a kind of like a cross, but not really. Do you know what I mean?
I want to call it the Iron Cross, but there's another name for
it. Right, the Iron Cross. So maybe they could put that on the belt somehow, and that could be his signature type deal.
A spinning iron cross. Oh, wait. No. That hurts my brain.
All right, yeah, thanks.
Where were we, Mr. Seidelman?
Steakhouse, please? Oh, wait, that's Burger King. Okay, never mind. Triple H did a 15-minute promo. Randy Orton interrupted, claiming that the odds were stacked against him last night at Backlash. However, Randy Orton said he was so dominant as WWE champion that they couldn't put him against anyone one-on-one. That he'll get a rematch in 3X Judgment Day. But Triple H knocked Randy out of the ring. So, as per WWE booking rule number 4785/J, there's a title match tonight.
What page is that on? I gotta go. Now you're gonna make me look it up.
Page 214.
Damn it. Okay, give me a minute. Go on.
We get a couple of short matches. Mickey James, team of Babyface Divas, defeats Beth Phoenix's team of Heel Divas when Mickey James pins Jillian Hall.
And if that would have happened at Backlash, I would have won the prediction belt. Darn it.
Neener.
However, now we get a fun squash match between John Bradshaw Layfield and Kennedy Graham Couch, a.k.a. Highlander Robbie McAllister.
Punishment.
He has a job. And he did a job.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah, it looked like Bradshaw was really stiff in that match.
Don't you ever show your face on Impact again, boy!
They didn't put your body in the bag, Nikki.
They didn't what?
They didn't put Frosty in the bag.
Hmm.
Wendy's. Okay, proceed.
And JBL challenged the winner of Triple H versus Orton and wants to get his torch back, which he will get a shot at WWE Uncensored.
No. Judgment Day before one bad joke.
And now, what the fuck moment number one.
Which I loved.
Yes, it was a tag match between Lundrick and the redneck Whirling Dervish.
Lundrick versus Cowboy Cable and whoever the cable guy.
All right. Now, let's hope I got this one right. Because last time I did this on a radio show, I got Rickrolled.
Oh, you're double-checking your finish?
All right, I think this is it. And, here we go.
Out of nowhere, it was awesome because he was so good. I mean, not only did he know how to carry a tune, but I live in redneck country where 90% of the people sing that song at karaoke, and he sang it better than that 90% of the people that I've heard sing that song. So for me, Road Dogg Jesse James 2.0, that was a check mark in my book, and another reason why this is one of the greatest Raws of all time.
The only thing that could have made that better is if that show had been in a redneck neck of the woods. The place
right.
would have gone bananas
they
if
were,
he sang that. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to add something. Go ahead.
I was going to say, anywhere south of the Mason-Dixon line, the place would have gone crazy. Heck, you could have done that in Columbus, and we would probably have loved it.
Exactly. And you know what? Like, people started to boo like right when he started singing. But as he went along, people started singing with him. And then at the end, there was a mild applause and a mild cheer. I really enjoyed that.
This will mean one of two things. New gimmick. Or it gets released next week.
Well, he got that country rock star vest that he's been wearing for the last 3 months. Let's see if that'll take him anywhere.
Just get that guy a guitar.
Yes, absolutely. Jeff Jarrett's not using his. Let's do it.
And it will be the first wrestler since the Honky Tonk Man, which that weapon would actually make sense. Sorry, New Jack, you're a cool guy, but it didn't fit your gimmick.
They just wouldn't want to carry anything heavier.
Like a gun.
Jericho had the highlight reel. You know, Edge has the cutting edge. The Rock had his rock concert. Trevor Murdoch could have the squared circle jamboree.
Yay! Be better than Trevor's movie trough.
Y'all need to think about that.
Yeah.
The movie reviews weren't bad. It's just that, like I said, when I see him, if I ever drew a poster of him, even if he has dropped 30, 40 pounds in the last few months, I still see him as a farm pig. No offense, Trevor. Where were we?
What we're about to do is going to talk about the second hour of Monday Night Raw. I just got to pull the thing back up. The first tag team, intergender-wise, Paul Burchill and Katie Lee defeated Super Crazy.
Poor Super Crazy. Oh, my gosh.
That man, I'm surprised he has not hit the Future Endeavored list.
Has that list been updated yet?
I haven't seen any new names. We've just got the two.
And some developmental guys who we don't care about.
Developmental guys even I haven't heard of.
Right. Also, they just signed Al Barone from Derby City.
Yeah. I had been privy to that. I wasn't sure if they were actually going to do it. You think Barone's going to keep his deal with Santino? Santino in a little bit of trouble down in Tampa.
What happened to him in Tampa?
He got busted on a DUI. Now I don't think they've got a case because his blood alcohol was under the legal limit, according to the articles that I read at WrestleZone. Cheap plug, I want to recap for you guys. Santino's breathalyzer came back 0.06. The legal limit in Florida is 0.08. However, he did fail a field sobriety test, so maybe they've got something on him.
I wonder what he would say during that field sobriety test.
He wouldn't sound that much different now, would he?
Why are you making me do it in touch of the nose thing? We don't do this in my home country!
I wasn't drinking.
The one thing that I would have loved to see is when they had him get out of the car to do the straight line walk, is to have him do his fake trumpet thing that he does after he wins. That would be magical.
Nice. We had a royal coronation, which saw the return of Mr. Kennedy.
Woo-hoo! Anderson.
Mr. Kennedy.
I gotta stop that.
Right.
Go ahead.
Mr. Kennedy said he would love to congratulate William Regal on the King of the Ring, but couldn't do it and proclaimed that he was the biggest WWE superstar not to be invited to the King of the Ring.
Kennedy turning face, maybe?
Lesser of two evils in this segment.
Yeah. Then we had a grudge match. Cody Rhodes beat Santino Marella, which is always fun.
I like Cody. Not many people do.
Cody Rhodes is actually a really decent worker. I like him.
His mic skills are not fantastic, but come on, guys. He's new.
Right. Goes out there, works hard every week, and he's got Bob Holly out there, which he definitely needs to push. Okay.
Rim shot.
And now we get to the highlight reel segment. The nominees for Best Actor in Sports Entertainment. Now, Amar Waldo Wrestling got this wrong. They didn't play a clip from Fuji Vice. They played a clip from Fuji General.
You said Fuji General.
No, but on my World of Wrestling, they said Fuji Vice, but it was Fuji General.
Right.
Right.
However, they still played the wrong one. It's not, they shouldn't have played Fuji General. They shouldn't have played Fuji Vice. They should have played Fuji Bandito.
I'm going to have to look this one up now.
I got that reference.
Before my time, I might need a link.
Number two. Michael Cole for Deliverance, part two.
Alias the hide and rape segment.
Yes.
The funny thing was they added banjo music into the background, which made it all the more creepier.
But yet, somewhat apropos.
I was hoping that the next one they were going to do was a Natural Born Killers thing with Heidenreich and Snitsky talking from Survivor Series 04.
Oof.
I like your poetry. I like what you do to babies.
Nominee number three, Shawn Michaels for pretending to have a knee injury in order to beat Batista at Backlash.
Either Michael screwed up or they were just trying to show the fact that he was faking, because he was favoring when he walked out. It was exaggerated. He was favoring the wrong leg.
I noticed that too, and usually I don't catch that.
I think that's why he was so exaggerated when he was doing it, that I think WWE wanted to point you in that direction. I don't. Batista was going to come over to Raw and be the big heel, the big nasty heel, but I don't know. They might be setting this up for Shawn. I wouldn't think so, but, I mean, that makes me think a little harder about it.
Batista's the one that needs to turn heel a lot faster than Shawn does.
Exactly.
And Batista's so close. So close. He's one good smash away from going full-blown heel on everybody.
Oh, God. I got Impact on my TV right now. I
Uh-oh.
Guess he's on.
Petey?
John West?
Konnichiwa!
Yay! Curry Man is the man! Curry Man is the freaking man! Stone Cold Shark Boy is the freaking man!
Yes. And the World X Cup returns to TNA this summer.
Eh. Another gimmick match.
Kind of like the two, I think it was two different gimmick matches they talked about tonight on Impact.
Deuces Wild Tournament and the...
And the Dome.
Yeah, not the Dome. Oh, the Shave Your Head match.
Well, that too. But they mentioned the Dome, and they went into a little bit of detail about it.
I just can't make any sense of Impact anymore. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I feel like I'm watching a variety cartoon show when I watch Impact some nights.
I thought when they went to 2 hours that it would be a lot less clustered, but they just try to find a way to fit more stuff in, and it doesn't really work that well.
Oh, well. It's still fun to watch, though, when you're drunk.
It is. It's good wrestling.
Yes, it might need some pharmaceutical enhancement.
I got my mom's. I got codeine up in the. Well, I got codeine. I got. Hold on. Let me go to my AVGN cabinet.
Anything good?
We got Malibu rum. We got coconut. We got pineapple. We got butter shots. About half full. We got. I got Sambuca.
Hmm.
And I got a bottle of...
You sound like you've been out of the town with Santino.
And I got a bottle of Smirnoff.
Well...
Vanilla. I also have some wine down there that I haven't broken into yet. I'm saving it for a special occasion. Wink, wink.
Well, there's some good WTF coming out of tonight's Impact. So.
And now, what the fuck moment number two? The Santino Roddy Piper segment.
That was weird.
Very. Was
it
Piper just hitting on all the chicks or what?
And I'm going to play the... And what I'm going to do right now is play the segment for you right now, and here it is.
There's the one thing that always makes me happy. WWE Divas. And this one, yes, I'm a chunk in the town. Excuse me. Future World Tag Team Champion, coming through. Excuse me. Rudy the Twist. The only Hall of Famer who gets his wardrobe from Ernie's head. You know, it's ironic. You were in the Goonies music video. Now you look like the Chunk. Can you do the trapple shuffle? No, please, for me, do the trapple shuffle. No. For Sally Looper, do the trapple shuffle.
That's Cindy Lauper.
Who cares? Come on.
Who cares? That boy got a death wish. Or is he just special?
He just quoted a movie from They Live. And we got another caller.
We do. Who's there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who is
this? You know who this is, Nikki.
Oh! I do know who this is.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Okay, Mr. Seidelman, let me introduce you to the next best thing to Will Gertner, Mr. William S. Irvin of Louisville, Kentucky. Good evening, William.
Good evening. How are you guys tonight? Thank you.
You just joined us at a very apropos time.
I tell you what, I have something to agree with you on, and that was the WTF moment of the whole Santino Marella. But also to kind of laugh at this about Mr. Santino Marella being charged with a DUI in Florida.
Yeah, we just talked about that a few minutes ago before we played the clip.
I brought it up earlier. Just the fact that he failed the field sobriety test, but his blood alcohol was not high enough really to charge him. So I'm not exactly sure how that plays out.
But the thing is, it was the breathalyzer was done 2 hours after the incidents were to happen. So it would have been inconclusive. Even at the time that they give the breathalyzer, so they can still charge him.
All right. I wouldn't know. I haven't been pulled over for drunk driving yet.
So, how is...
I got one better. I don't even know how to drive.
We didn't need to interrupt you, Will.
Oh, that's okay. I've been waiting to get on this show. Yeah, Nikki had told me about you whenever we last talked in Louisville, and this was during a house show of, I think it was Raw.
It was the Raw house show. Jericho made Mr. Kennedy tap. Main event was Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton. This was a week or so before Jeff got suspended.
Right, exactly.
It had to be late February, early March.
Right, exactly.
Early March, actually. That was all part right. of the five-city tour.
I have to do it. Thank you, Nikki. Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin. Joel, Mr. ECW Gertner.
did I tell you? He's a spot-on impersonator.
That
Mr. Gertner, would you like it? And you know the real reason he's trying to be on the show, right? He wants a job. So I will give you a job, Mr. Gertner.
Okay.
Preferably to Santino Marella in dueling shots in 5 minutes.
I think I could equal up to him and plus drinking him under the table, if you get what I'm saying.
I didn't know you fancied Santino that way.
Not that way. I don't swing that way. I'm a straight arrow. Thank you very much. But I tell you what, it's like, oh my goodness, it's like 10 after 12, but I tell you what, I'm still wide awake, so.
Well, please stick with it if Mr. Seidelman will. Yeah, go on, please.
What the fuck moment number 3. William Regal entered the production truck in the middle of a Triple H versus Randy Orton match, which, let's be honest, wasn't that good in the first place.
I have to say this much. As soon as I saw the emails flood in, they said this was a, I'm going to say, what the fuck moment, like Vince McMahon's exploding limousine incident that flooded the emails to WWE.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yes.
But yes, William Regal shut down the show.
It gives people a reason to care about him, just like him winning the King of the Ring gives you a reason to care about him. And it could possibly, once he's done with his Kennedy feud, set him up for a title program with Triple H. And I know that Triple H is one of his biggest supporters. I'd love to see those two go head-to-head all summer leading up to SummerSlam. And you know what? I might be in the minority here, but they might not just come. They might not have him taking the belt away from Triple H. But I'd love to see have William Regal have a major title run in the WWE, because not only does he have the in-ring skills, he's a technician as far as mat wrestling goes, but, I mean, he's very good on the mic. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I love the way that they're pushing him right now.
I think I'd be willing to give Mr. Regal a cup of coffee title feud, just a one-month deal with the belt, because I can't see him staying up that high. I'm still kind of reluctant accepting him as King of the Ring, but I know that he is more than capable of doing a lot more than what they've done with him for the last 3 or 4 years. It's just a matter of them building him up to the audience's expectations of being able to do this kind of stuff.
Like Mr. Jericho, give a little spot of pee in his tea. Come on now. You know, Jericho, I mean, here's what I'm thinking. Regal, okay, give him a short title run, but that's it. Very short. Like, give him a week as champion, then give the belt back to Triple H. That's what I think.
I'd be willing to give him a month between two co-brand pay-per-views.
Okay.
Unforgiven and No Mercy.
I'm willing to agree. Okay. I'll give you that. So.
One snistle snistle.
So, Mr. Seidelman, would you like? We had a total of, let's see, Trevor, Santino confronting Roddy Piper. The Carnation.
What the fuck moment number 4?
Yes.
All I gotta do is just play a few simple words.
Of the walkout.
Mike, where you going? Mike! Where you going?
That's
like
fuck moment number 4.
All I could say is this. Adam Lee is just as green as ever, and please get him off the air.
Ooh, Adam Lee.
D- to be honest, there were so many ways you could read that. And when Mr. Seidelman warned me about the fact that Adam Lee was going to leave the table through another source, I went ahead and popped in to see what was going to happen. Adam Lee leaves. And it turns out that Taz leaves. I actually missed that on the first broadcast. I had the ability to go back and see the entire segment last evening at a friend's house, and we sat there and analyzed it. And if this is indeed a work, which is what the dirt sheets are coming back with now, this was probably one of the best works I've ever seen, because I can fill in the blanks to what was going on between the truck and the headsets, to where Adam Lee was cut off in mid-sentence and told to get away from the announce table before he did any more damage to it. Taking this as an insult, he put his headset down. I understand that he has actually walked off a broadcast before. Taz protests. He switches his headset back to just the truck, asks what's going on. They said, don't worry about it. Do your pay-per-view push. Fine. He goes back to that. You can hear the edge in his voice when he does it. And as soon as he's done that, headset is off, and he is going after Adam Lee. Just to find out what the fuck.
Do you know another rumor that I had heard too, Nikki?
Yeah.
That apparently Taz's contract comes due this summer, and this may be a way to get both Adam Lee and Taz off at the same time. Like, if you went on WWE.com, it says that they leave on their own accord, or were they asked to leave. So I'm thinking that maybe next week we could see the coach, and we could see somebody like Al Snow, who's done broadcast work for them in the past, just have a brand new team come in. And I think maybe the reason that they did the Adam Lee walk off now as opposed to earlier, because they've been getting killed forever about this, but because Foley has taken over recently, it frees up Coachman to do something. So maybe that's it too. They just wanted to. I see how you say that went down, and I think that that's exactly how it went down. And they may have pulled a fast one on Taz as well, and he may be done completely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would also like to point something out for you. The rating for the last ECW, this current one where Adam Lee did the walk-off, it was Impact-level ratings.
Like a 1-1, 1-2.
No, 1.09.
Ooh.
Wow.
Well,
ECW, that's not only Impact levels, that's original ECW on TNN levels.
Well, they wanted to be more like the original ECW. There you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of the original ECW, come on. I mean, excuse me. This is straight shoot going to Mr. McMahon. Grow a set. Get your head out of your rear and learn to go ahead and go back to the original ECW.
Well, Vince has this ego thing about not wanting to promote anything that did stuff better than he did. Vince knows that they out-wrestled his workers. That's why you saw when Rob Van Dam was in there in 2002, he was completely neutered by what he could do.
Right. And that I will agree. Plus also Sandman held back. Sabu being held back. I mean, come on.
Sabu screwed himself over and got himself fired.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sandman, I still don't understand the circumstances over him getting let go, because I was told that he was moved to Raw because Vince had actually taken a shine to him and was going to actually do something with him, and then he broke his ankle on live TV.
By the way, now.
Yeah.
I bring you what the fuck moments number 5 and number 6. From tonight's Impact.
Ah, okay.
AJ Styles, actually, I'll just say Tomko is what the fuck moment number 5. Tom, backstage, Jordan Barash interviews AJ Styles. He says he needs to find a partner for tonight since Tomko got hurt, quote, in an MMA fight in Japan, close quote. That's completely false because, A, Tomko's still wrestling in Japan because he was booked for Japan during the time of the fan fest, of the lockdown fan fest. And
number two.
This leads up, and guess who his partner is? That's right, Super Eric.
Yay!
I need to down. I should. You know what I should have just found and put up? Gilbert Godfrey saying, "What the fuck?"
to be honest, that was way out of left field, but it was kind of cool the way it was built up. And I called it award from the Punch House chat room because I was the one who picked Super Eric. Two or three people said Abyss. Somebody said Jeff Jarrett. There were two or three other names that came up. But I was like, okay, you know, EY didn't really do that much in his tag match earlier in the show. And we can't get through a show without Super Eric. I can't get through an Impact show without Super Eric. If we're going to be silly, let's keep being silly and get that costume kook out there.
I sat in my recliner watching the whole match, and I'm going, what the hell is going on here?
Actually,
here comes what the fuck moment number six. This has to do with the singles wrestlers for the Deuces Wild tournament. Matt Morgan, Kip James, BG James, James Storm, Booker T, Robert Roode, and Sting all come out. Jim Cornette then announces the eighth participant. It's the only one of the people who do a Batista bomb better than Batista.
You got to do this right. You got to play the clip.
I don't have the clip.
You don't have the clip. Aw. Okay.
That's because Impact, because I'm on the West Coast and Impact is playing right now.
Ah.
I could do the Cornette voice.
Do the Cornette voice.
Go for it.
Wait a minute. Let me do a head count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm sorry, we only got 7 people out here. So let me introduce you folks to the 8th person in this Egomaniac tournament. The TNA Women's Knockout Champion, Awesome Kong.
Oh, my goodness. That just...
What made it better was the what-the-fuck faces from the other 7 guys.
I knew that was going to happen at some point down the road because there was actually an indie event back near my hometown near Pittsburgh. It was, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called the Super Indie Tournament. And they have a lot of... people out on the indies that come in and enter it, like Jerry Lynn was in it this year, and Altar Boy Luke, and some other guys. But anyway, they had actually, there was an opening on the show due to an injury, and everybody was pushing, because Kong was going to be there to defend one of her belts against Daisy Hayes, and they were actually pushing for Kong to be in the tournament. So I said, this is going to happen more often than not. When there's an opening somehow in TNA, people are going to push for her to be in some kind of tournament. So it actually happened a week later, so kind
of
weird.
Kurt Angle is said to be one of her biggest supporters for the tournament.
Well, that just means she has something else to do, and you won't get powerbombed by her.
Hey, when Karen's out playing with AJ Styles, Kurt Angle needs somebody to support.
Or Awesome Kong just needs somebody to do the mating ritual with.
Yes, Awesome Kong, the Bride of Umaga.
And by the way, Awesome Kong is a top.
Oh.
Ow.
Here's the joke of the night, guys. Here's the joke of the night. Awesome Kong is Mark Henry.
In drag? Awesome. I'd watch that.
Hopefully she doesn't give birth to a hand.
Oh.
No, no, no. Just the other hand. The other hand.
Oh,
sorry,
my goodness.
I had to go.
Nice.
Mark Henry reference.
No, I would, I would just love to be a fly on the wall at the wedding of Awesome Kong and Umaga.
Oh, good grief.
You wouldn't understand a word of the vows.
I just wouldn't want to be in the same hotel when they went to consummate the marriage.
Oh, no.
Bam, 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 bam.
Let's see, there goes, bam. There goes
there's nothing, no, there's nothing left of that hotel room. There's nothing left of the floor, of that entire floor. I mean, if anybody here is a Star Trek fan, it's a Klingon mating ritual. There will be broken bones.
Nice.
There will be screaming. There will be blood.
And Armando Estrada in the background cheering them on.
Wait. And by the way, Aja Kong and Rikishi will join in. Rikishi in head shrinker gear, and will be made of a foursome.
Oh.
Kong Umaga, Aja Kong, and
Rikishi.
That Wendy's
that's about where we're at right now.
this is
here's some great news for you guys. I got some great news for you.
What's up?
Bret Hart today is in Florida, or was today in Florida, talking with the WWE developmental talented at Florida Championship Wrestling.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I was reading on JR's blog that might be a possibility, and he said there's nobody better to learn from than Bret Hart, and he is absolutely correct.
That I will agree with.
That would probably get their heads on straight if anybody had heard about Test's little blog lambasting Florida Championship Wrestling, saying that these guys are a bunch of party animals. There's like 90 guys there, and only two of them are going to make it. Now,
Colt being one of them.
Huh?
Colt being one of them.
I was going to, and one of the other one's probably going to be Alpha Jr. Because I don't think Seidel. Well, no, Seidel's down there. Never mind. But
Mickey, who did you say that was again?
Test.
What's
or are you talking the other person that was qualified?
No, the person that you had said was, you know, said that nobody's going to make it.
Oh, Test. Formerly Test of ECW, Kelly Kelly's boyfriend.
Oh, Andrew Martin. Okay.
Him.
I couldn't make out what you were saying. Test. Okay.
And he, now, admittedly, a few hours later, he took it down. So maybe he felt he'd gone off a little too far with it. I'd have to look at, let me see who I've got left on my Florida Championship page of my website. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Most of the guys that I've got have a pretty good shot. Alpha Anoa'i Jr., Drew McIntyre is already on a roster. We just haven't seen him on TV. Colt and Seidel. Lupe Vizcarra has got an amazing look, and he's only 19. And
Alice the Bone.
Atlas, for sure.
They're changing Lupe's name. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I will need to correct that on my website, among a lot of other corrections I'm going to have to make.
They're moving them fast,
right.
Seriously.
Let's see. We are almost out of time, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Yes. We just have less than a minute in the show. Normally, if we were PTI, we would do a big finish. And we won't. I can pretty much sum up the last 10 minutes of the show in just one sound effect.
That doesn't even do it justice.
It's a good start, though. It's a wonder. That's about all we're going to get out of this show, because for the letters W, T, and F, I think I'm done.
Adios, guys.
I think this has been one of the best shows that we've ever done.
Adios.
Thank you, Mike Adamly. And we will see you next time, speaking of what the fuck, here on AG. Woohoo!
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness. What did I get myself into?
Okay, we will try it again. Arisa Malosky, Todd Christensen, and Larry Zucca. I'm Mike Adamly saying we'll see you next time here on the American Gladiators.
I have told you. I'm glad I came on the show.
Well, I'm so glad you came by.
Okay, I'm guessing we're playing the American Gladiators theme.
The original.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Actually, we need to do, we got to start the countdown. We are 10 days from the second season.
Right. And poor Matt Morgan, he decided not to go.
Matt was finally getting his, huh?
Little segue here, too, from the, speaking of the second season of American Gladiators and their host, Hulk Hogan. Did anybody see the pictures that surfaced on the internet of Hulk and his daughter, Brooke?
Yes.
Oh.
Horrible.
That was not even right, and that was just totally sickening. Oh, no. The sound effects come on, and I like it.
Yes, I have Tecmo's Super Bowl songs on here.
Very well
done. I'm going to have to send you about a gig worth of all my goofy sound effects.
Oh, my goodness, it's Nintendo Tecmo Bowl.
One of the best games known to man.
Yes.
Oh, dear. What other goofiness? I think we covered all the WTF, and unless there was something else on SmackDown that I don't know about. I hadn't read spoilers yet.
Oh, let me pull them up for you.
Wait a minute. I tell you what, I'll join you.
Got him. Theodore Long has announced that the tag titles, U.S. title, World Heavyweight title will be on the line tonight. Foley is the new SmackDown announcer.
Yay. That I knew about, and I'm very, very happy about that. But where's Coach?
Who cares? He's gone.
Did he go full-time with MSG?
He did a game on Saturday. I don't know which. I think it was I think it was a baseball game, but I'm not sure. I know he did a game for MSG on Saturday.
Okay.
Well, I hate to see him get future endeavored. I mean, wrestlers need somebody to slap around from time to time.
He's a very good sports announcer. I know he's done, I guess he was a great college basketball player, but he's done college basketball for CSTV. And I've actually had the pleasure of listening to him, and Coach is pretty good. And when he was in, there was a Raw house show in Wheeling. Nikki, you were probably here. It was in December of 2005.
Yeah, I know the show you're talking about.
Yeah, and he was actually here. That's when he wore the Carlito wig. He was Carlito's tag team partner. And he was actually, there's a sports bar here in town that's pretty popular in Wheeling. And he was there, like, watching all the bowl games. And he had, like, a notebook, and he was doing all kinds of homework and stuff. And he looked really into what he was doing there in addition to his duties on the road. So he's a busy guy, that coach.
I've got a goofy picture from that show. I'm gonna look that up real quick. I think this was the show. I was taking pictures of the set. You know, I realized, you know, there's not a whole lot of a set when you're talking about a house show.
Wait a minute. Is that Jennifer? By the way, my brother has it on. I bet you right now a show between two poker players, Antonio Spandiari and Phil Locke.
Okay.
Where they just go around and make bets, you know, stupid bets like $500 says that I could get a gentleman's like hat or something for less than $40.
Hmm.
What's the name of the show again?
I bet you can.
Yeah.
Oh.
Everybody got a sound
effect. And
just leaves
the hilarious result. The last episode they did firefighting.
And now it's
aviation. And now it's they're bringing out their inner Top Gun.
Okay, yeah, here you go, DJ. When I was at the show, I was taking pictures pre-show like I usually do, take a shot of my seat, take a shot of the security camera setup, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember, I don't know if you were inside by this time, I was taking a picture of the security setup when Coach comes flying through the curtain on a bike.
No, I wasn't probably inside at the time, no.
Okay, just as I was taking a picture of the security station, he comes flying through the curtain on a bicycle. You could just see him in the background, and I shook my head seeing that. Let me see if I can find Coach's Carlito. This was your random tag match of the night. Coach dressed as Carlito with Carlito versus Shelton Benjamin and Tatanka.
Tatanka, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I remember seeing him because I don't think he had debuted yet on television. So
no, he had.
Tatanka?
See him
right.
Training.
What, November of 05?
December.
December of 05?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think this was just before the Atlantis. Yeah, probably just before Mohegan Sun.
And we also got to see The Miz before he had been on TV as the host of SmackDown. He had teamed with Chris Cage. And we got
yep.
to see the Spirit Squad before they were on TV with Kenny and Mikey. And there's right up the road from Wheeling is a high school by the name of Brook High School, and their colors were green and gold. So everybody was calling them the Brook Cheerleaders, and everybody was booing furiously. I mean, they didn't even
actually,
have to show who their opponents were. They just got booed because they look like Brook cheerleaders, which was pretty good.
Okay.
I had the wrong
they found off. The SmackDown results. Who's still here?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Still here.
Yeah.
Tag champs Morrison and The Miz beat the redneck rejects.
More
or
Wang.
The reject rednecks.
More Wang.
Nikki, just because you... Nikki, if you want more Wang, just go visit Bear.
Oh.
He's working tonight.
Oh.
He's working tonight. And
oh,
God
no.
help me, I hope he's not listening.
Vladimir Kozlov beat Colin Delaney to a bloody pulp.
This
poor Colin.
News.
And Victoria Nadala beat Team Work Rate SmackDown Edition.
Mm.
But then again, all face divas on SmackDown are teamwork, right?
One of them
right.
is Jerry. Who's the other one?
Michelle McCool.
Your photographer, DJ.
Yes, my photographer. I acted like I didn't know who she was for fear of
oh.
my life.
Yeah, you scored big. The Undertaker.
That does remind me, DJ. I would like to steal that picture off of Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Because you realize I gave you an assist for you to meet that man.
That is true.
And I'm this close to putting it on my website as an assist.
I never would have been there otherwise. I never would have been in that spot.
Okay. And we had Mark Henry beat Nunzio.
Random.
Matt Hardy beats MVP to retain the title.
Yay.
Hawkins and Ryder beat Jesse and Festus. No more biscuits and gravy! Finlay.
I knew De Niro would find himself in a WWE match.
Finley beats some unknown jobber person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just said De Niro.
Julio De Niro, yeah.
He was in TNA with CM Punk. They were part of the, is it called the New Church? I'm not familiar.
Yeah, New Church.
I don't remember.
Yes.
That's, yeah, I actually have a Julio De Niro trading card from my TNA set, which is probably the only one.
Which will probably fetch a good dime.
It's got to be worth more than Jeff Jarrett's card.
Oh.
Rimshot.
Oof. Ouchies.
And I take the words.
Or the Rock-A-Con autograph cards that are spelled wrong.
And I take the words of Triple H. Oofa.
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 Oh, what other goofiness do I have from that house show? I'm looking at my pics from that Wheeling house show.
And the last match, main event, Great Khali versus The Undertaker for the title. Edge wheels out Vicky Guerrero. She says that the following match will not be for the World Heavyweight Championship, thank God. She also says that Undertaker's new chokehold, Devil's Triangle, is banned. According to the correspondence, Vicky Guerrero strips The Undertaker of the WWE World Heavyweight title because of his dangerous chokehold. She says that it's to protect the superstars in the same vein that he protected Hornswoggle from danger because he won the Cruiserweight title.
Okay.
Anybody got a sound effect for Ron Simmons because the big boy's been inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame this weekend?
Yay!
Yeah, that's true.
Woohoo!
Inducted in along with Colts, Troy Aikman, and OSU's own John Cooper.
There you go.
I got a good impersonation.
Okay.
Dario.
Bam!
I have to ask, when do you think CM Punk will cash in the Money in the Bank?
Theoretically, and somebody had posed this question, what would prevent him from just cashing in the title on, they're cashing it in on SmackDown now and just taking the damn title himself since it's up for grabs?
Because he's
Vicky
not a hero with that edge.
Yeah. Vicky Guerrero would stop him. Or try to, anyway. She'd make him fight for it.
Yeah,
and
probably.
And he's not beating Edge. It's going to be a great match, but he's not beating Edge.
At least not yet. He's not a WWE championship B or A level champion yet.
Somebody had the gall to tell me that he was going to cash in the briefcase to get a B belt. And I'm like, no.
Oh, my goodness. Here's your comical event that's waiting. Honky Tonk Man, ECW's zombie Tim Arson will be on the Scott Farrell Show on Cyrus Satellite Radio, Howard Stern Channel 101 between 8 and 10 p.m. That was earlier on this evening.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Honky Tonk Man was actually in Wheeling last week. I missed it. I was home last weekend, as I am this weekend, and I missed the Honky Tonk Man. He was 10 minutes from my house, and I didn't know it.
Let's see.
I would have loved to meet Honky Tonk Man. You know what I'd get him to do?
What's that?
Sign a. If I had a copy of the wrestling album to Pile Driver.
Oh my goodness.
I'd have him sign it. I'd have him sign the back, not the front.
Right.
Because Honky Tonk Man's got a cut on there.
Right.
Or maybe if I can find a Honky Tonk Man action figure.
There you go.
I found some information out about Kevin Nash's boy.
Which boy?
His 11-year-old son.
Okay.
And I want you to understand how old this kid is. He's 11 years old.
Right.
And this kid is already 6'1".
God, Phil Locke is the luckiest man in the world. You want to know who he has for a wife? Phil Locke is a poker player, a big-time poker player. He's got Hollywood actress Jennifer Tilly as a wife.
Oh, my goodness.
Who everybody knows is most known for her role as playing a luscious lesbian wife in the movie Bound.
With Gina Gershon. Oh, yeah.
DJ knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. I have it on DVD, and I play it on a loop regularly.
Ew.
That does not even sound right, guys. All right.
It could be worse. I know somebody who has the unrated DVD version of Spanking the Monkey.
Ouch.
No. It doesn't have to do with the obvious joke.
I don't believe you.
Has to do with the Oedipus complex.
Oh, man. I seriously have to say this. OVW's gone to hell in a handbasket since WWE developmental left.
Here we go. Here's what's going on right now. Antonio Sfondiari and his squeeze versus Phil Locke and Jennifer Tilly.
Okay. Let's see. No, I was gonna comment on Will's thing. I went to the Cincinnati show here a couple of weekends ago, and I was actually kind of happy with what they had. I did have the honor and the privilege to get pictures with belt holders. I got my picture with Los Locos and the belt, but they wouldn't let me leave with them. Not for lack of trying.
Right.
I got to see Eugene. He worked a match there too, and I've never seen him that happy, unless he was in character as the savant. He was quite happy with the way things were going, even though, you know, the crowd was a little less than what I'm used to seeing there.
Right.
And yeah, we were missing some pretty big names, because half the reason I was down there was for Atlas and Colt and Seidel and Ox. So, by the way, congratulations, Ox, or shall I say Bam Neely. And for those guys. If I see Ox at the SmackDown House shows next weekend, I'm going to have that picture in hand, and he's going to sign it whether he wants to or not. I'm going to get him back for that.
By the way, I have to make note right now, Nikki's favorite person in the whole world is currently seen now on ESPN Classic.
And who is that?
My dear Uncle Paul.
Yes. AWA Championship Wrestling, his short tenure there, about 4 or 5 months there. As manager of the original Midnight Express, Loverboy Dennis and Ravishing Randy.
Okay,
wow.
They're on right now, is that correct?
They're on in about 10 minutes.
Ah.
Sweet.
And of course, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. There's another picture that I know you should have from that house show. I was just thinking about it.
Yeah.
It was, I think, Justin Roberts' birthday. And,
yes.
They brought out, like, a cake or something, didn't they? And they tied him up and with his own microphone. And I think Coach was out there as well. I don't remember all the particulars. Maybe you can fill me in on it.
Okay, yeah, I'll go ahead. Essentially, this was during the main event, which was John Cena and Ric Flair versus Triple H and Chris Masters.
Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it has been nice, but I've got to get to bed.
I got two more pieces of news for you before you go.
Okay.
Mischief is the new Shimmer and NWA Women's Champion, knocking off Boss Amazing Kong.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
And welcome to Terror Dome?
That's what I was trying to tell you about. That's the other what the fuck from Impact.
Yeah,
the Terror Dome.
Mexico.
They're trying to make it look like the Elimination Chamber.
Ugh.
With
ugh.
If you used in Mexico, actually, I guess. It resembles their cage they use down there. I've never seen it, but I guess it looks pretty cool.
You know what? What I wouldn't give right now and wouldn't put in past TNA just to do the electric chair match now, the Chamber of Horrors.
Yeah, I'll agree
That's
with
the
that.
Only gimmick match that they haven't done.
Not
They've
so tried
well.
The electrified.
Russo can hear you.
They've tried the electrified fence match, and that didn't even work. That wouldn't even, you know, even.
The electrified cage match at Lockdown last year. I was actually at the show, and that was so stupid.
I mean, excuse me. Get a rope for that match. They hung themselves.
Well, I'm going to give a posthumous moron award to TNA for forgetting the regular cage and having to have the electrified cage out there all night. So you may sleep on that, Mr. Arvin. Thank you for coming.
Oh, no problem, man. When is
yeah,
the show
for
next
being
week?
On. Call back.
Are we doing a show next week, Mr. Salomon?
I would love to do another show. Because guess what? I didn't care about the regs. I've had so much fun these past couple of weeks. I'm keeping the show.
Yes.
Yay.
All right. Yay.
Our typical hours are usually 11 p.m. Eastern time on Fridays.
Okay.
Except for instances where we do a special two-hour show, which includes our version of Around the Horn.
Yes.
Around the Horn.
Around the Horn.
Is your name Will?
Yes, my name is Will.
Okay, I'll have to remember that for the next time.
All right.
Or you can call him Mr. Gertner.
The quintessential.
We got Joe Gertner, we got Nikki Hammond, I guess that makes me adorably Adrian Adonis. Good night, everybody.
And that
makes
Barry
goodness.
Horowitz.
Barry Horowitz, start patting yourself on the back, kid.
And if Sean Matthews was on the show, he would be our Joey Styles.
Yes.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Oh, my God! Now, if I can't do that one, I'm better at, Cat fight!
No, that's my line.
Trista would do something like that, but she'd probably be too busy hanging over Tyler Black.
I will dangle that picture of him at her again.
Well, I bid you guys all farewell, and I'm heading to Dreamland. And
right,
my name is not Larry Zbysko, and I'm not heading to Larry Land.
Good night, Irene.
Good night, Owl.
For Will's sake, I hope he doesn't remember our discussion about Umaga and Amazing Kong, because that will make for some crazy nightmares tonight.
This is on the archive, so I'll just play it over and over again.
But let me go ahead and finish that story DJ was looking for.
Sure.
Tag match, Cena and Flair versus Hunter and Chris Masters. Essentially, late in the match, Cena and Masters were in the ring working. Triple H had disappeared, and so had Justin. So the match wraps up. Cena wins with an FU to Chris Masters. And as we're all celebrating, he picks up the microphone. He says, wait, nobody go anywhere. We got a birthday in the house. Triple H then tosses Justin Roberts in the ring. He has been hogtied with wrist tape. His hands and feet are bound. And he comes hopping up into the ring. Coach was in attendance. He was out there. He wanted to be involved. Cena didn't trust him, just backed him up. Cena got out a birthday cake, had the entire arena sing happy birthday to Justin Roberts, and then plastered him with it. I have a point of impact shot of cake flying everywhere.
Whee!
Then Cena busted out two containers of whipped cream and topped Justin off and sprayed a handful of it on Coach as well.
That sounds dirty.
It sounds dirty, but it was funny as hell. And the next time I saw Justin, I picked on him about it, and I did send him the pictures. They did it. They did a house show in Dayton late '06, I believe. And I made a joke. I joked with Justin. I said, "Is it your birthday?" He said, "Not so loud."
By the way, just if we have radio up, Nikki.
Yeah.
No, we got to do. No, we can't do it. I forgot. I'm getting rid of the DVR box tomorrow.
Right, because we're not going to do live broadcast.
Yes, because I was going to suggest the ECW 100th episode.
It'd be fun, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, here you go. Here you go, Mr. Seidelman, just so you can laugh at how far we've come. The card from this show was opening match, Rob Conway versus Val Venus. Second match, Chavo Guerrero face versus
Murdoch.
Trevor Murdoch.
Yeah, I remember that.
The world's ugliest tag team, Tyson Tomko and Gene Snitsky, versus The Miz and Chris Cage. Chris Cage had been goaded into wearing a Pirates uniform that night, I think. Was it this show? No, it was Erie. They did a similar card in Erie, Pennsylvania, and Cage came out in Pirates of the Caribbean pirate gear. He just had the big poofy blouse and the jack boots and the jeans and an eye patch.
Harg.
We had a very, very quick women's match. Blink and you missed it. Trish Stratus versus Victoria. This was the Spirit Squad debut where it was just Kenny and Mikey in a handicap match against Viscera. Now, DJ, I have a very sick and wrong picture.
Oh, no. Is he humping both of them?
Yes.
Oh, I remember that.
If it was Henrik on top of both of them, they wouldn't be able to get him up.
Exactly. It was just sad. We had the aforementioned Carlito and Coach versus Shelton Benjamin and Tatanka. Random as heck. Shelton doing most of the work, but Tatanka didn't look that bad. In fact, he'd even dropped more weight leading into the year when he did a dark match at ECW versus WWE head-to-head.
I got to see my favorite wrestler and your favorite wrestler, the Dork himself.
Dorcas, where'd you run into Dork Boy?
No, this was at that show. I think he fought Kane.
Yes, he did. I've got the funniest picture of Angle freaked out and trying to run away from Kane, and Kane's got him by the straps. It is. This is still one of my favorite pictures from this show.
Right on.
And then, of course, the main event: Hunter and Masters against Cena and Flair. We were close enough, DJ, that a couple of guys led us up to the guardrail. And I have this beautiful picture of the spinner belt and the Intercontinental title flopped on the floor next to each other.
Wow! I was actually for that one, I was second row. The entranceway would have been to my right, but I would or to it would have been in front of me to my right. I was on the longer side. I don't know how to explain it, but had it been
where the announcers would be, or were you on a corner to that?
I was not where the announcers would be, and not where the entrance splits it in half. I would have been in between those two, but the entranceway would have been to my right, and the announce table would have been to my left.
Okay.
But I was on the very end, so I got a good one of Flair entrancing with his robe. I got a good one of Triple H with the eagle wing pose. So
yeah.
I did pretty good, but I did not have a digital camera at the time, so all of my pictures came out kind of dark and grainy. But
uh-huh.
I tried to touch them up as best as I possibly could. The Flair one came out the best because he just kind of. All the other pictures were dark, but his robe was, it lit up, so it kind of, brightened up the entire picture. So the Flair ones turned out pretty well.
Judging from my pictures, I was near the corner where Hunter does the eagle wing. I was a little bit in from there, so that would be technically camera side. Because he had his back to me for the water spit.
Okay, so we must have been on opposite sides of the arena. So you would have had the announce table to your right and the entrance to your left?
No, actually the announce position would have been to my left. Judging from the
We might have been in the section then.
Probably on opposite ends. You were closer to the ramp.
End. I was closer. Well, no, I was closer to the ramp, so we might have been in the same section.
Yeah, we might have been, because I was over on the other end, and I was the one that was making jokes to Murdoch. I was the one that yelled Trevor's trough. To make fun of him about, you know, he was making fun of rednecks. I'm like, you know, you don't make fun of family.
I remember Brian and Steve, or as you call him, Andre, were there, and they had the Billy and Chuck headbands.
Yes.
In full effect. And they were also in my section, so we must have all been in the same area, because I wasn't well aware of Mickey Heyman until the SmackDown taping that June when Sabu made the run in. I mean, the first time I'd ever encountered you was at a Raw in November in Cleveland when I was still up at Case Western, and that was when Bischoff had been hauled away.
It was just before Bischoff got fired, because that night he had made the comment, you can't replace me. And they went down a list, and they actually put Uncle Paul's face up there. And I went nuts.
It was dumb luck, too, because I just happened to be sitting by Brian and Steve and their entire crew, and I was like, hey, you guys from – they said, we're from, like, near Washington. Yeah, I was like, wow, I live right by there. And I knew they had known you from before that, so you got to talking to them, and that's how I got to know you. So, anyway,
well,
it worked out.
Because where did I – oh, I met them – because I met them at the Wheeling SmackDown just before One Night Stand. They were there for the Sabu Latte pick.
Yeah, I was there at the same one. I got Sabu there as well. And I think – didn't you get Dreamer and Kendrick and London and all those guys too?
Yeah, I got so many people at that show. And it still kills me that I didn't get Uncle Paul. Even though I called after him and he stopped. And Sandman and Balls Mahoney were trying to get him to come back over.
They were all in that one van parked right by the road there.
Yeah, and I thought Paulie was going to come over. Dreamer came over. Dreamer always takes pictures. Always, always, always.
And Mahoney and Sandman actually came back and went back into the van and were kind of like sitting there towards the end of the day. And that's when I ended up getting Sabu, because him and Pee-wee came out and tried to find – he sent Pee-wee over to this fancy clothing store to get him some black socks, because apparently he needed it to go with his parachute pants and Sabu boots.
Let me see. Wheeling. There's one. There.
It could be worse. We could have him come to a ring wearing a turtle. We could have him wearing a polo shirt, some dress jeans, a man purse, and drinking some coffee, a mocha espresso frappuccino thing.
Essentially the picture was a baseball cap on backwards, a golf shirt, khaki shorts, his man bag, his latte, and grubby sneakers.
Yeah,
go ahead.
When I caught Sabu, it was close enough to the show that he had on a Fight Network t-shirt, a parachute pants, and a backwards hat. So he kind of looked like Sabu. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. And I made the mistake of when everybody was over there, I said, excuse me, Mr. Bronk, would it be possible to get a picture with you?
And he said, who?
That didn't go over well. He says, I don't know who that is. Who's that? So then I kind of moved my way to the back of the line, and I came back up again. And I was like, hey, Sabu, can I get a picture with you? Sure.
There you go.
That's not me. I don't know who that is.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
That's just awesome. Unfortunately, Sabu is not in a good way, judging from some stories I'm getting back.
Yeah, he no-showed a few events.
They will be on YouTube.
When?
Next week.
Let's see.
Anyways, I think we better let this go now. It's 10 o'clock, 1 a.m. over there, and I know Nikki's got work.
I've got a half day of work tomorrow, and then I'm going down to Hamilton to work a show. Pray for me, guys, because I'm going to be emceeing. I'm going to be general manager for the night.
Good luck.
and I'm really looking forward to it. I just hope everything goes off well.
Have fun, Nikki. We will have a report of that, and for the rest of your shows, Saturday, Sunday, Monday shows that you're doing on next week's show.
Well, this weekend is just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. GDW, IPW, and PTW in Michigan. I'm going to be meeting Sid Vicious. And then next week is pretty much Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. American Lucha Corps, 2 SmackDown House shows, and Raw in Detroit.
Wait a minute. You're meeting Sid Vicious?
Sid Vicious is doing an autograph session at Gibraltar Trade Center in Taylor, Michigan this Sunday.
We got to play his theme.
I'm the master and the ruler of the world.
Of the squirrels.
Where is it?
Who is this partner? Come on!
And actually, DJ, you should see the picture I'm going to be bringing Sid.
Here it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like this one.
Sid Vicious gave me my first smarky moment in going to wrestling shows.
Outstanding.
March 20th.
No. This wasn't at Uncensored. This was actually at the Nitro the night after. March 20th, 2000. Sid Vicious needed a tag team partner because Scott Steiner and somebody else was giving him crap. Sid was the champion at the time. Hulk Hogan comes out and says, I'll be your partner, and Sid gets on his knees and says, please, please be my tag team partner. By the end of the show, he was so sick of Hogan hogging the spotlight that he choke-slammed him during the match. Go ahead.
And that would have been the planned pay-per-view like Kevin Sullivan had planned for Spring Stampede.
Possibly. All I know is that when he did that, there were only 2 people in the entire building cheering that, and that was me and my best friend. Because we thought it was so awesome that Hogan got his ass chokeslammed.
Love this theme by Sid Vicious. By the way, Nikki, you still need to send me Uncensored 2000, that Nitro, and the last Nitro.
I got to get that for you. I do apologize.
By the way, DJ, are you still there?
Yes.
Here's what I gave to her. I gave her 2 ECW episodes.
Uh-huh.
One from 98, one from 99. I'm not sure if you watched the tape yet.
I admit I have not.
The first Nitro with Bischoff Russo.
Oh, that's a good one. When they're all out in the ring area, all the talent.
At the beginning, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when all the titles were stripped, they went up to Sid. Sid didn't want to give it up.
That was a good one.
And Nikki's favorite moment. Where Tank Abbott just so bludgeoned Mark Madden.
Ha! I've got that one.
I needed it because I lost most of my Nitro library when I moved. Because I had a ton of Nitros and Thunders from 99 and 2000. And going through my library, I decided that those could be easier replaced than most of my anime collection.
And then that turned out to be the wrong thing.
Well, personally, I still feel a little bit better about it because I don't feel like I should give Funimation a freaking dime for what they did to Dragon Ball.
I understand.
And I still come across obscure, some of my tapes that are full of obscure cartoons. I actually found a tape that's got some Hammerman on it.
Nice.
Back when I was recording a ton of Saturday morning cartoons, when I would record Super Mario Brothers, record Hammerman.
Wait a minute, Hammerman?
Yeah. Foul?
The chosen one.
Sorry, just found the full Jeff Jarrett theme.
Chosen one.
I think my best friend still has her Slap Nuts t-shirt.
Listen up, Slap Nuts.
I'm serious. I think she still has that. She has one of her WCW shirts. She had that one. She had a Sting, and she had a Vampiro. Back when
Vampiro's shirt was awesome. I would have loved to have that one.
And Vampiro had Entrance of the Night at that particular show. He had a match against Lex Luger. Lex came out and essentially cut a short promo saying, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. Vampiro's music starts to play and all the lights go down. Luger's looking at the ramp. Vampiro's pyro goes off and they cut back to the ring. And just through the light of the pyro, you see Luger looking up the ramp and Vampiro crouched behind him. Pyro dies down, the lights are still off. Everything goes black for a couple of seconds. The bell rings, the lights come up, and Vampiro is all over Luger. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. It looks so good on TV. Go ahead.
You want to know what WCW shirt that I have?
Oh?
It's actually an NWO shirt, but it's an Outsiders, just the Outsiders t-shirt with the red writing on it. And I actually bought it from Tracy Smothers, who sells apparently wrestling t-shirts in addition to all of the other stuff that he hawks at indie events. But the funny thing was, I was thinking about buying it, and he was like, hey, how much you want to buy this shirt for? $20? $15? $10? $5? He just went straight down. I was like, wow, Tracy, you're the worst bargainer ever. I bought it for $5.
Awesome. What do I have left of WCW? I think the only WCW shirt was one that I bought. I ended up buying on eBay. I don't think I bought any shirts. Then again, I only went to like four WCW shows. So I got my hands on a Wolfpack Lex Luger t-shirt. But I think that's the only WCW shirt I still have. All the rest of my stuff's WWE shirts, and half of those I bought on eBay. I am proud to say, though, I only paid for one John Cena shirt.
Very good.
And that was in a moment of weakness.
Oh, my God. My hero is wrestling.
Your hero? Adrian Adonis?
Yes! And you want to know who's managing him?
Who?
Your hero!
Uncle Paul!
Bob Orton and Adrian Adonis versus a couple of jobbers. And Paulie is wearing this plaid t-shirt with pink tie.
Why do managers have crappy fashion sense?
Because their name isn't Bobby Heenan.
He didn't have very good fashion sense at times either.
What about Flick?
Not bad. Nope, don't want to.
Well, folks, I think this is where I get off.
Actually, I think I'm going to follow him out the door. Mr. Seidelman, it's quarter after one here.
Yes, but just to let you know that your hero was on AWA again.
Hooray! I will meet this man again someday if I have to arrange a meeting through RVD.
What is it, Kai? You know what? That's what you need to do.
Oh?
They need to do a version of RVD TV and the Him and Hustle.
I sent the suggestion to Rob shortly after Heyman Hustle debuted. He said he's going to work on it.
Another Paulie match. We have more Pauly goodness for you right now on AWA Championship Wrestling. It's the original Midnight Express versus the Midnight Rockers.
Cool. I'd watch, but I'm gonna be wrapping up my internet too here in a few minutes.
I'm not sure if I'm gonna have internet tomorrow either. Gotta go pay the bill tomorrow.
Oh, reminds me, I gotta pay my rent tomorrow too.
That's what mom's gonna do tomorrow too.
So, all right, gentlemen, this will do it for me.
All right, good night. And by the way, Adrian Adonis was really bloated when he got to the AWA.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
All right.
Take care, everyone.
Night.
Good night, everybody.
Pistons win! Pistons win!
That does it. I'm out of here.
Go, Pat.
Bye.
Night.